Now's the time to find your color, your paint, and everything to get started during Red, White, and Blue Savings at the Home Depot. Transforming your room is easier than ever. With the best deals online and in-store, you can confidently select your color and the tools for your next paint project. Get a colorful new experience and the right paint for the right price. Save $10 on 1 gallon and $40 off 3 and 5 gallons for a limited time only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Limit 25 gallons per household. See store for details.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. It is that time of night. My name is Rich Bradbury.
And my name is Adeline Chung.
Hello, Adeline Chung.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Are you?
I'm very well.
How's
How are
your
you?
Day?
So far, so good.
So far, so good, too.
So far, so good.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are introducing Arisha Rosaidi this evening. She is a published poet, but she's concentrating on performing fairly recently.
And her friends call her the Taylor Swift of spoken word.
Yeah, I briefly mentioned that to her earlier on outside of the studio. She kind of scrunched up her face a little bit.
Because she don't know whether it's a good thing
right,
or a bad thing.
Right, but of course, we've done a few interviews with people like Jamal Ruslan and a few other spoken word poets and a few other slam poets or whatever we want to call them.
Yeah.
And it seems to be like this new thing that's happening across Malaysia right now. A lot more people paying attention to it, right?
And if this small little gig is going on, happening around in like cafes.
Yeah. So this new...
It's a good thing, though.
It is a good thing. You know, the cafe culture here in KL in particular is definitely growing well, right?
Yep.
So we'll find out a little bit more about that. Born in the chaotic city of Klang way back in 1997. Oh, my God.
She's
right?
So young.
She's just 20 years old. Oh, my word. Right, time to take a break.
Same age as Laura.
Right, time to take a very short break. We'll be right back in the studio, of course, with Arisha in just a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. BFM 89.9, the business station. BFM 89.9, the business station. It is that time of night. My name is Rich Bradbury.
Good evening, and my name is Adeline Chung.
And we are joined in the studio by...
Arisha Rosaidi.
Hello, Arisha Rosaidi.
Welcome
How are you?
Welcome to the show.
I'm good.
First time on radio, I hear.
Yes, it is.
Not the first time hearing your voice, though, for a lot of people, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
You mentioned earlier you were creating podcast.
My friend actually... Mm-hmm. Mix podcast, Less podcast, and I've been featured. It's a poet podcast. It's called Poet X.
All right.
Yeah, so I've been featured in the earlier episodes. Yeah.
Okay. So, from what I understand, born in May 1997 in the chaotic city of Klang.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm getting so far.
May 1997.
We don't need to dwell on that fact. We know she's super young. Yes, we get that. We get that. You had a book published by the Indie Publishing House.
Yes.
First Pocket Press, right?
Yep.
It was called The Prisoner of Sorrow.
Yeah.
Happy title.
Yeah, actually, it was really hard choosing a title, and I really didn't know what to do. So technically, me and my friends just threw around a few words. And then lastly, the publisher chose that, and we were like, yikes, do I really want to stick with that?
I like the name,
but,
though.
It was too late, and we're like, oh, it's okay. Yeah,
right.
Sure.
Good name.
And then you've gone on to self-publish fairly recently for Sandpaper Heart.
Yes.
That was last year, 2016,
Yeah, that was
right?
early last year.
I think a couple of things we want to focus on then when we come back is the difference between being published by somebody else and self-publishing and why you made the decision to do that. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, you're performing an awful lot as well. You're getting up on stage and reading your poetry out in public. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Why did you decide to do that? What was the...
At some point, I was introduced to spoken word poetry, and then I went to more workshops and things like that, and I realized that spoken word poetry gets a better reaction than page poetry, and I actually enjoyed that. I like the feeling of being on stage, but not really. I get really bad stage fright. I get really, really bad stage fright. But I love how the audience responds to it. I love getting off stage and audience go straight up to you and say oh, that poem helped me, you know?
Mm.
I was going through that and I heard that and that was nice. And even though it's the same poem every time, it's a different experience for me and the audience.
Right. Mm. I mean, poems themselves, by their very nature, are meant to be performed anyway.
Yeah, I feel so.
And I think a lot of people kind of forget that, right?
Yeah.
Go on, Adeline.
No, you mentioned that your poem helped the audience, you know? Mm-hmm. How so?
Well, basically, I write a lot of poems about breakups and relationships.
Love.
Yeah. So sometimes it's about relationships years ago.
That's why they call you Taylor Swift.
Yeah, but at least I'm making something out of it, right? Break my heart, I'll write a poem about you.
Right.
Okay, so Like, usually when I'm reciting that, and then someone comes up to me and say, like, oh, I actually had a breakup recently, and that was exactly what I wanted to say, but you said it, so thank you. And I really, really appreciate that.
Right.
So sometimes, like, in the middle of performances, you see, like, people crying, and I'll be like, oh, man, what did I do?
Was there one big breakup then that spawned all the writing, or was it a sequence? Because you're 20 years old, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, right? I know, right? But I guess it's a few different ones, yeah.
Right.
It was a secret. It wasn't actually one big breakup.
Was it?
But it was, it's a lot of, like, looking back to it and just writing about it. Because, like, as you grow and then you find out, like, oh, this is what I wanted to say back then, but I didn't.
Right. Mm.
So, and then I write it.
Right.
Yeah.
Hindsight's a wonderful thing, right? Okay, we have to take a very short break. We do have a giveaway, though. We are giving away two Caveman breakfast sets from Pan and Tampa. Where is it at, Adeline?
It's at Publica, so all you have to do is just answer this question. Tell us, what is the name of Arisha's first book? Send your name and your IC number to 016-201-9000. Tell us where you deserve to win. Any questions for us tonight, tweet us at BFM Radio or BFM TTON.
We're going to take a short break, but when we come back, we'll talk about publishing, self-publishing, and the differences between the two. Okay, don't go anywhere. You're listening to That Time of Night here on BFM 89.9, The Business Station. BFM 89.9, The Business Station. It is That Time of Night. I'm Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Adeline Chung.
In the studio with
Arisha Rezaidi.
Arisha has a book published called The Prisoner of Sorrow. She also went on to self-publish a chapbook in 2016 called Sandpaper Heart. We'll get to that in a couple of minutes. A quick reminder, 016-201-9000. We have a giveaway this evening. Who is it and what is it?
Well, we're giving away two Caveman breakfast sets, all thanks to our friends at Pen and Temper at Publica. So if you want to win those sets, all you have to do is just answer this question. What is the name of Arisha's first book? Send your name and your IC number to 016-201-9000. Tell us why you deserve to win.
So from what I understand, Arisha, you had your first book published when you were 16 years old.
Yeah, when I was 16.
That's quite an achievement already.
Yeah. Honestly, I would actually call it accidental sometimes, because when I was 16, that was when I first started writing these poems and all that. So I started with writing a blog.
Right.
And then I wanted feedback. I wanted to know whether I was writing it correctly, you know, because I was a science stream student. I didn't really learn all this, how whether I'm writing a poem or not. So I started sending it out to different indie publishers, because that was what my friends were reading and that was what I knew how to contact. So I sent out a few of my poems to different publishers, and then, like, a lot of them gave feedback. A lot of them said this and that about my poems and all that. But then this one publisher replied and said, hey, we really like your work. We would like to sign you up. And I was like, are you serious? And I was in a boarding school. So they said, tell us how to contact you. And I was like, can I give you my mom's number? Can I give you my mom's phone number? And they were like, wait a minute, how old are you? I'm 16. And they were like, oh, man. Okay. They were like, okay. Yeah,
right.
That's going to be something exciting. So that just went on. So I was in school. So that was really hard. So I was in boarding school. We weren't allowed to bring phones. We weren't allowed to bring laptops. So most of the time, I worked on my manuscript in the computer lab. Yeah. So I had a few months to finish that. And then we signed a contract. And by the end of the year, I was published.
Right.
And basically, the thing about having a publisher is that it's easier to get into bookstores or festivals and so on.
Because they know the people, right?
Yeah, because they have their own distributors and all that. But you have very limited decisions on what goes on the book or how it looks like and all that. And because of all the distributing and all that, it's going to cost a lot too. So for me, I felt bad because some of my friends actually wanted to buy it, but they had to hesitate because the price would go up, you know.
Right.
Yeah. So that was when, like, a few years after that, like 2 years after that, I decided, like, hey, maybe I should just self-publish, you know, learn how to do it, go ask around people, how do I get myself printed and all that. And then I realized that it's so much cheaper and it's such an easy way. Actually, it can get done. It can be done in like a few days, just in a few days, printing and all that. And so it was much easier to give it away to my friends and sell it to friends. They wouldn't hesitate when they hear, oh, it's only $15.
Right.
Okay, $15 is fine.
Right.
Because I don't want people to pick up a book and feel like, oh, I want to read this. And then you say that, oh, it's 30 ringgit. Oh, 30 ringgit is around 6 meals, you know.
Mm.
So they're like,
So, plus you have more creative control over the stuff that you're doing
yourself, I decided what the cover looks like. I get to arrange my own poems, like which one goes first. So that totally helps because I feel like that sets the mood, like which poems goes first. Because sometimes I write it chronologically, so I want to make sure people read it that way.
Right.
But sometimes when you send it to publisher, they decide which one goes first.
Right.
So sometimes it gets like messed up there. Yeah.
Right. And in your head, you already have the order of which.
Yeah,
you want,
exactly.
Right?
So it was pretty like.
Can't you tell the publisher? Can't you tell them which to publish first?
Yeah, but then like sometimes like. I sent in a whole manuscript which I arranged myself,
right.
but it didn't come out like that. So yeah,
that must have been frustrating.
But honestly, I think I owe it a lot to the publishers because without them, I wouldn't have been exposed to even bigger names. Mm. Like, for example, it's pretty odd that when I was 16, I met up with this with one of the biggest Pokemon poets in Malaysia called Jamal Raslan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you guys had him before.
Yeah, yeah.
So like when I was 16, I met up with Jamal Raslan, this girl who's just started writing poetry, just showing him like, oh, is this correct? Am I doing it right? And then he's giving me all this feedback and telling me this is how you do it and all that. I was just his fangirl, you know? Mm. And then like years after now, I get to perform on stage with him. I sit down and have the teatari with him. It's great, yeah.
He's good, eh?
Yeah, he's amazing.
He's a good fella. I have some good conversations with him. Right. So, when you were growing up, though, were you reading poetry at all?
No, not at all.
Not at all?
Not at all. Yeah, that's why I call it accidental. Because actually, when I was 16, I started writing more stories on my blog. And then at some point, I started writing this one story about death. Yeah, yeah. But then, like, and then someone tweeted it and said, oh, look at this piece of poetry. And that night itself, my blog got like around 800 views. And that was when I realized like, oh, so that's a poem? Is it
right.
a poem? I don't even know. That's why I really wanted feedback. That's why I started sending it out to a lot of the publishers and all that.
Right.
Right.
So no previous reading of any... Okay.
Nope.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that now. Because reading doesn't seem to be an awfully big thing here in Malaysia,
yeah,
is it? Particularly of books, anyway.
Yeah.
You know, there's magazines and blogs and Facebook and Twitter and whatever. Why do you think that is?
I think because like people are so focused on other things. But I think that's why I want poetry to be accessible.
Right.
Because if people know that there's poetry that's easy to read, especially page poetry, because people have this stigma against poetry saying that it's too deep, it's going to be all complicated.
It makes me think.
Yeah, but then when people are introduced to stage poetry, they feel like, oh, that's so relatable, that's easy to understand, but it's so poetic, you feel it. So when it's on paper, stage poetry on paper, it's more enjoyable to read. And I feel like I have to get that, I have people need to get access to it because it's going to be, it doesn't take up much time. When you read it, you can read it in one go, but still you're reading something, you know. So I think that people are too busy on other things. That's why they don't.
Right.
Know. Yeah.
And now that you are published and you are performing, and you know, like you say, you're sharing the stage with people like Jamal Raslan. And are you looking back at other poets outside of Malaysia, and maybe looking back into some of the classics, perhaps, and reading some of that stuff?
I'm
as
a
well.
Literature student, actually. That's
great.
So obviously, I have to study all that.
Right.
have to learn poetry, and it feels very different. But of course, you can find like a
common ground.
Yeah, you can find a common ground, but it's really different, basically, like for me to have to divide myself as the lit student and as, you know, as a performer. Like in class, this one time I actually mentioned about spoken word poetry, and one of my lecturers actually looked at me and said, "That's not poetry.
Ooh.
That's just performance." And I'm like, "Oh no!" But so many other people are so supportive.
I think I tend to disagree with that statement.
Yeah, I disagree.
But did you correct the lecturer?
I just said like, I disagree, but I think we can agree to disagree.
Right.
Yeah, let's talk outside the class.
Yeah, I'll see you later.
I mean, you only have to look back 300-400 years when people were performing sonnets.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, surrounded by hundreds of people.
Exactly.
It's something people want to listen to. They want to hear stories of love and heartbreak and death and cats and dogs or whatever it is. You know, they want to be able to understand what it is to be human. I think poetry is the way in which we share those stories.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like because in slam poetry and, you know, performance poetry today, the language is simplified. But honestly, in my opinion, I think it's so important to have that so that, because poetry is supposed to connect people, you know? It's supposed to make you feel like you understand. So what's the whole point of actually performing poetry with all these big words that people don't get?
Yeah, they don't understand.
I feel like it's pretentious. I feel like people don't get it.
Yeah.
I feel like poetry is about connecting, so why not just do it that way.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and there are parallels, you might say, between performing poetry and how do we look at it? Like pop music compared
yeah,
to,
there is.
You know, rock music or even classical music.
Yeah, there
you know,
is.
People will
has to relate to it.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, people will look at classical music and like you say, some people will think it's a bit too much.
Yeah.
I'm not really into it. But you stick a pop track on or a rock
yeah,
track and
exactly.
they go, I
exactly.
get it, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just finding that easy way of communicating
yeah.
with people, right?
So for me, like, I think that's the important part of poetry, you know. Because like, when people ask me, like, oh, can I write? People sometimes come up to me and ask me, like, oh, can I write? Is it going to be hard? Do I have to sound a certain way? And I tell them that if you write and it means something to you and it serves a purpose, you know, someone else feels that way too, then it's poetry. That's
right.
as easy as it gets.
So
right.
where do you get inspiration in terms of coming up with your poetry?
Other than breakups.
Yeah, other than breakups.
One of my... The other reason that I focus on breakups is not just because of the whole breakup thing itself, but because one of my favorite poets is Rudy Francisco, an American poet who actually writes like that. The thing is that when he writes... when he performs, you can hear the hurt that makes you feel like, who is this ex-girlfriend, you know? I'm coming to get hurt. Who dares hurt him? So I like the whole vibe, you know? I like him so much, the way he performs. So, like, usually inspiration just comes from, like, sometimes I can just find one line, one metaphor, one feeling that makes me go like, oh. Later on, I got to write about this. Mm. But I never, like, force myself. So even if, like, that one day I can't, I'll just keep it down. I'll just keep it, just see it another day, and it's fine. Get back to it some other time.
All right. Let's take a short break. 016-201-9000 is the number to remember. We are giving away what?
We're giving away two Caveman breakfast sets, all thanks to our friends at Pen & Temper at Publica. The question is, what is the name of Arisha's first book? Send your name and your IC number to 016-201-9000. Tell us why you deserve to win.
Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages. Don't go anywhere. BFM 89.9, The Business Station. BFM 89.9, The Business Station. It is that time of night. My name is Rich Bradbury.
Good evening, and I'm Madeline Chung.
Joined in the studio by...
Arisha Zaidi.
Now, Arisha had her first book published when she was 16. It was called The Prisoner of Sorrow. She then went on to self-publish a chapbook back in 2016 called Sandpaper Heart. We're going to have a reading from that very shortly. Mm-hmm. Before we do that, though... We have a giveaway. What do we have, Adeline?
Well, we're giving away two Caveman breakfast sets, all thanks to our friends at Pen & Temper at Publica. The question is, what is the name of Arisha's first book? Send your name and your IC number to 016-201-9000. Tell us what is up to win.
Now, we asked Arisha to perform something for us, right?
Okay.
So what's it called and what's it... just tell me what it's called first.
Okay, it's called Question Marks.
Okay. So what I'll do is I'll fade out the music and you can start reading whenever you're ready.
Okay. So this piece is called Question Marks. 1. I wonder how many smiles have you forced just to avoid spitting my name out of your mouth like raisins. From a cookie you thought was chocolate chip, I sit on the bitter palate of your tongue. You wish you never had me. 2. How many times have you skipped our song when it comes on your iPod out of fear of time travel? Does Alex Turner take you 6 months back slow dancing in my hallway while my parents went home? 3. How many times have you returned to the places where I gave you pieces of me just to put them back? My heart on the rooftop, my lips under your pillow, my eyes in the kitchen by your oven where we had 2 a.m. cakes and through 30 a.m. promises. They were both so sweet. They both didn't last long. 4. What have you done to the empty side of the bed? How often does hurt slide into the space next to you at night? Do you think of me when it does? Do you wish I was next to you so there would be no space left for it? 5. How many words make you cringe because they all sound like my name? 6. Do you avoid mirrors because sometimes the reflection shapeshifts into your old promises? 7. How many walls have you punched to make sure my fingers won't fit in between yours anymore? 8. Do you wear 2 watches on your wrist because they say time heals all wounds? 9. Do you eat away your sadness or do you skip your meals to pretend like it's not there? 10. Do you take longer showers now to wash away traces of me that still linger on your skin? 11. Do you force memories of me to walk across a tightrope without the safety net? Can I still trust you that you won't push me off? Tell me that our relationship was more than just a balancing act. 12. Do you see me happy in your dreams but call them nightmares when you wake up? 13. How many nights do you sacrifice to visit the past just so you can count all the ways we could make it work? could have made it work. 14. Do you see my face in your morning tea? Do you curse the heavens when it burns your tongue like I used to? How did you forget me so easily? And 15. Do you get waves of missing me like I do sometimes of you? Okay, that's it.
Wow. Well done.
Well done.
Well done indeed. Right. There
so
was
much emotion.
Yes. The empty part of the bed part. Wow. That hit home hard. So this is how many times have you performed that?
I have performed this a lot of times. This is one of my favorite pieces to perform. Basically, like, I have really bad stage fright. So to combat the stage fright, I would choose poems that
make you angry.
Would sound fine if I tremble on stage. So when people hear it, if I have terrible stage fright, when people hear it and I'm trembling, people go like, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Right.
Are you okay? And I'm like, yeah. It was a stage fright.
Do you have another one you could perform? I know it's short notice, but I'd quite like to hear something else if you've got something. In the meantime, while she's looking for something, we'll just do you a quick reminder. We have a giveaway, 016-201-9000.
That's right. I'm giving away 2 Caveman breakfast sets, all thanks to our friends at Pen & Temper at Publica. It's 1 set for each winner, yeah? So the question is, what is the name of Arisha's first book? Don't forget, send your name and your IC number together with why you deserve to win to 016-201-9000. And if you have any questions for us tonight, tweet us at BFM Radio or BFM TTON.
If you missed any part of this show, you can head over to BFM.my and download the podcast. Our app is also available on Google Play and in the App Store. Arisha?
Yeah.
Have you got something?
Yep, I got something.
All right. Let's fade down some music and have part 2 whenever you're ready.
Okay, so since that was a heartbreak poem, I'm just going to recite a love poem, something I wrote for Valentine's this year. Okay, this one I wrote for my boyfriend, so shout out to Ayman out there. Yeah, because he's a fan of you guys, so
bless him.
Hello, Ayman.
Hello, Ayman.
Okay, so this is called Loving You in 2 Parts, but I'm going to read part 1. I'm running out of ways to tell you I love you, and I'm sorry. But for you, I'll learn new vocabulary. Maybe a few languages, maybe a few different languages. I'll swallow a dictionary. Well, I'm an English major. That means I'm pretty good with language. But not numbers. I've always been bad at math. But nowadays, I stay up counting how many days it would take for me to run the 300 kilometers to you. But distance doesn't mean a thing. Halfway across the country, I take bus rides to see you. And I'll sleep the whole journey because meeting you is a dream. And I used to dream of being a scientist. But in high school, it took me forever to memorize the periodic table. But now, I want to introduce you to my teacher just so I can show her I got better at chemistry. Okay. And sometimes I think of tying your shoelaces every morning just so you won't fall for anybody else. And you look like you have strong legs that won't get tired of running through my mind. If I had photographic memory, it would be a supermodel. Your face would be on the cover of my hourly thought. Have I told you recently that I'm addicted to sugar? No wonder, because honey, you're so sweet, and my hands stick to you like a 4-year-old's to a lollipop and talking about hands. Remember how on our first date I told you I was scared of traffic? I kind of said it so you'd hold me. The speeding cars were terrifying, but I was more scared of going home without knowing if our hands were puzzle pieces that fit. And if I could go back to that first date, meet myself from the first time I laid my eyes on you, I'd give her a high five. And it's been almost a year now. It's been over a year now, and not a day has passed without you being the last person I talk to you at night. And sometimes, I think our good nights sound like vows.
Okay. Wow! Well done. These are really good.
So much love.
These are really good. Really good. Now,
I would tie a shoelace every morning so you would not fall for anyone.
Yeah, that was
else.
Really funny. Wow. Because actually, that was actually a line he said, because at some point we were walking and I told him like, "Hey, babe, your shoelaces are untied," and then he looked at me like, "But you can step on them because I've already fallen for you anyway." And I was okay, that's going to a poem.
I'm writing that down. Okay. I'm really enjoying your stuff. When are you next performing?
I'm performing early May, actually. Like, I just got a text message from my friends from Poet X Podcast. They're having a live show. Maybe around 1st or 2nd of May, but they haven't decided where yet.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we need to take another short break, though, folks. But when we come back, we'll just have a quick wrap-up. And we'll talk about... I know you've got... You're republishing as well, so
yeah.
People can get hold of your book soon, right?
All right.
You've got a Facebook page, I assume.
Yes, I have a Facebook, but most of the time I'm on Twitter.
On Twitter. So that's probably a better idea. Yeah. Okay, right. We'll be right back after these messages. 016-201-9000. The question is, what is the name of Arisha's first book? Send your answer along with your full name, your IC, and why you deserve to win. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9 at the Business Station. It is at that time of night. I'm Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Adeline Chung.
She is, and this is
Arisha Zaidi.
She's with us all the way through until 10 p.m. this evening, having survived her first radio interview and performed live on radio for the first time.
Oh, that was
congratulations.
Perfect. Thank you.
How do you feel?
Very nervous.
Bit nervous.
I'm still nervous.
You get used to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's fine.
Trust me, more gigs coming up.
Yeah, more gigs coming up for sure. We can definitely hear that. Right. We've been asking you a question all the way through the show. We have a couple of minutes left before we run out of time. So if you still want to take part, you've got a couple of minutes. 016-201-9000. The question is,
what is the name of Arisha's first book? Send your name and your IC number to 016-201-9000. Tell us what deserve to win. To send a chance to win two Caveman Breakfast sets, all thanks to our friends at Pen & Temper at Publica. Just a reminder, it's one set for each winner, yeah?
Mm-hmm. So, Arisha, I know you are republishing.
Mm-hmm.
How can people who are interested get their hands on a copy of your book?
They can straight mention me on Twitter or Facebook. Mm. I like that a lot. Actually, that's something I like. I prefer over having a publisher, because the thing about people contacting me straight is that I know where it goes.
Right.
So every time I send out a book, I leave a personal message thanking them, because honestly, it means a lot. And usually when people buy it from me straight, they tell me like, oh, this is actually for a friend, or oh, this is actually for my sister who is starting out, performing and all that. And I love hearing that. So
right.
I like having that personal touch to every single book, you know. I like knowing that, oh, this one is going to, you know, Kelantan, or this one is going to Sabah and Sarawak. It's great. Mm-hmm.
And your Twitter handle is?
Arisha Rizaidi.
There you go. Yeah. Do you want to spell it just in case?
ArishaRozaidee.
You almost stumbled then.
Yeah.
Right. It's been an absolute pleasure meeting you, though. And thank you very much for performing for us.
Thank you.
When are you next performing then?
In May.
In May. Yeah. Where at?
We haven't decided a location yet.
Right.
It's in May, around 1st or 2nd of May.
And I'm sure you'll be announcing it on Twitter.
Yeah, I'll definitely be announcing it on Twitter.
All right. Almost time for us to wrap up then. Mm-hmm. We've asked you a couple of questions. The question was,
what is the name of Arisha's first book? And the answer is
The Prisoner of Sorrow.
There we go. Are we going to get a happier title for the next book, maybe?
Oh,
do you think?
I hope so. I really hope so, yeah.
Something to do with shoelaces, perhaps.
Maybe.
Yeah. All right. It has been at that time of night here on BFM 89.9. I've been Rich Bradbury.
And I've been Adeline Chung.
This has been
Arisha Zaidi.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Now's the time to find your color, your paint, and everything to get started during red, white, and blue savings at the Home Depot. Transforming your room is easier than ever. With the best deals online and in-store, you can confidently select your color and the tools for your next paint project. Get a colorful new experience and the right paint for the right price. Save $10 on 1 gallon and $40 off 3 and 5 gallons for a limited time only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Limit 25 gallons per household. See store for details.